be seated.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing this morning? It's good to see all your faces here. Quite a few people. It's good to see. Hope you enjoyed the week. Having some good weather. Stuff's been good. Jesus is good. There really is no one like Jesus, is there? I mean, you come to know him and you come to have a relationship with him, it just doesn't get any better than that. So we're on the series All In. All right, when I was younger, I went through a phase of playing a lot of poker, specifically Texas Hold'em. I was pretty good at it, if I say so myself. That was a long time ago, though. But I remember the most thrilling point of any game was when you went all in. You take all the chips you have, you push them into the pot, and you say all in. When you make that choice to hold nothing back, there is no turning back. It's just not an option. You just hope for the best. You either double up what you have or you go home broke. Today, I want to talk about going all in for God. Often we hold back with God. There's certain things. We keep our cards close to our chest. We hold on to our wealth, our past, our secret pleasures, our fears, our pride. The list goes on. If we are to truly have all the blessings that God has for us, we need to be willing to go all in. God wants us, and he wants to use us, but the choice for him to use us is on us. It's because he's given us free will. And free will can be great, but it can also really suck. Because sometimes we don't make the best choices, right? So free will is good, but if we're choosing to follow him, a big part of going all in is commitment. And commitment is a funny thing in society these days. I feel like we're kind of losing our commitment to things. It's hard to find. There's always a way out. There's something better out there. There's so many choices that we have in our society, and we can be as flaky as we want to be, really. We don't have to decide on anything, like even deciding where to eat or what show to watch. It's just there's too many choices. Take marriage, for example. Marriages these days seem to be just a phase of your life, a temporary state with an option to opt out or maybe an option to move on to somebody else. The worst way you can start your marriage is with a prenup. Now, if you're wealthy, you might think it's a good idea to secure your wealth. But what a prenup does, it says basically there's a chance of this not working out right off the bat. You're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. God designed marriage to last for a lifetime. It's not always easy, but it takes commitment. It takes work. And the same is true with our walk with God. Our walk with God takes a lot of commitment. Marriages should be like if you're in an airplane and you're jumping out, and you only have one parachute between the both of you. You know, if you both hold on, you'll be okay. You'll make it through. But if not, watch out. Right? You can try to split it 50-50, but I don't know if that'll work out too well for you. The point is, we need to have this level of commitment to God in our lives. Willing to do whatever it takes to follow him. Because Jesus, really, he's the easiest person to follow. He did it all for us. Right, he died for us. He gave it to us all on the cross. And the great thing about what the word says is that yet while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. So we didn't have to be perfect. We didn't have to be at a place where we were deserving of it, where we earned it. But we were still sinners, and he gave his life for us so that we could be free from our sin, experience a more than abundant life. And the question today is, are you all in for God? Are you at a point where you recognize that your life is truly in God's hands? Do you know that God holds your future, your marriage, your family, your finances? You know, that's a tough one sometimes. We like to hold on to our money. But have you come to that place where you've pushed all your chips in and you said there's no turning back? Let's think about that. Let's open in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for this day, this Sunday that you've given us to come and experience you, to worship you, to just be all in for you, God, and hear of your word today. God, I ask that you would be over this message, and may your words come out today, Father, and just let people hear what it is you have to tell them today. Amen. We've been on this series, and we've had some great messages. We've had a message on being all in on prayer. with that message being an all-in fellowship. Today I felt called to talk about being all-in on your walk with God. We all have this thing inside us. It's called fight or flight. And, you know, I was taking psychology and I learned about this, and a lot of people know about it, right? You're in a stressful situation, and your natural reaction is either to fight it out or to run away. It's survival. I want to tell you today, if you're going to be all in with God, then your reaction to the hard times, to the stressful situations, it better be to fight. The word tells us to prepare for battle. Now, it's not a physical battle, but it's a spiritual battle. And we prepare by putting on the full armor of God. In Ephesians 6, it tells us that our fight is against the powers of this dark world, and it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's pretty good battleground, right? That doesn't sound easy to me. It sounds like it's going to be a fight. It goes on to tell us to prepare by putting on the full armor of God. This armor consists of the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet are fitted with the gospel of peace. You have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Have those scriptures at the ready. And when it says to put on the full armor of God, it means the full armor. If you are preparing for an all-in walk with God, you need to get ready. You need to be prepared. So often, the Christian walk, it's looked at as kind of more of a passive, laid-back kind of thing. Like we're called to be peacemakers, right? Similar to Canadians. You say, I'm sorry all the time. You turn the other cheek. And we're expected that people are just going to walk all over us like doormats. Well, the truth is, if you choose to be a Christian, you are called into the army of the Lord. And you're expected to fight for his principles and for what it says in his word. And if you're following God, it is warfare. There is literally spiritual warfare that we're to take up. This is why it's so important to read the word of God. This is why it's so important to pray. So important to worship him. These are ways to fight in the spirit. Don't get caught off guard. Don't enter into this battle and forget your armor at home. Don't just like say, I'm going to wear half of it today. You know, I'm not going to read the scripture. I don't need my sword today. Or maybe I don't need my faith today. I don't need that shield. Right? You always got your helmet on, salvation. But you need to have the full armor of God. As a carpenter, I have a tool belt, and it has all these tools in different spots, and they're at the ready. I can just grab them. You know, I'm kind of like Batman. Utility belt. But sometimes, you know, I forget my tool belt at home, or I leave it on another job site. And when this happens, I just feel lost. Right? I just can't get the job done without the right tools. And without the armor of God on, you can't get the job done. The gospel and the Bible, faith, salvation, and the truth, these are tools that God gives us at our disposal to reach lost souls around us. And this fight we're in, it's just not only for ourselves. It's not just for our own salvation, but we fight for the lost souls around us. So it's important that we're fighting because there's so many people out there that are lost. There are people out there that haven't heard the good news of Jesus. There are people out there that have heard it, but they haven't been shown it. And we are called to show this love to everyone around us. All in means all in. So be prepared. Next up, give up everything to follow God. Now, when I say give up everything, I don't mean sell everything you have and join the mission field and go all around the world, although some people are called to that. But more what this looks like is holding nothing in priority over your relationship with God. We read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Our devotion and our love to God, it can't be pulled in different directions. It needs to be focused. We use our money, we use our time, and we use our talents to reach people for Jesus, the gifts that God has given us. A good way to tell if you're in danger of serving two masters is just to step back. Take a look at where you're spending your time. What does it look like? Like maybe in the evenings, you sit and you watch TV. During the day, you're at work. In your free time, maybe you go fishing, play sports, watch sports, have a hobby. This is typically what we do in some format or another. Now the question is, when are you reading the Bible? When are you praying? When are you having fellowship with other believers? When are you helping the poor or the needy? When are you investing in people around you? Watching TV and hobbies are good, but you need to try and spend time in these other areas that I'm talking about. And believe it or not, you can incorporate godly activities into your hobbies. Like, they can go hand in hand. It's not exclusive. You know, following God doesn't have to be boring. If you like fishing, or you like sports, or you like shopping, do it with fellow believers. And when you're doing it, have conversations about what God's doing in your life. Share your struggles with one another. Spur each other on. Offer words of encouragement. These are all things we can do while having fun. Try living the God-centered life. Instead of having God in one of your boxes, have him in all of the boxes. Have him included in every single area. And if you do this, things start to fall into place. It's kind of neat how God works everything together for good for those who love him. And when he says everything, he means everything. So it's your work. It's your free time. It's when you're struggling, and it's when you're on those huge highs. You know, I just got back from 2 weeks of holidays. It was great. I took our family camping in Waterton. It was so lovely. Now, I was on vacation mode, right? But it doesn't mean I wasn't still feeling God, experiencing God. I was surrounded by the beauty of God everywhere I looked. I was able to put God first daily through reading scripture and praying and showing my kids, you know, the beauty of God's creation. We climbed up Bear's Hump as a family. There's my five kids. And we looked out and we shared with them Psalms 121. Right? I looked to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heavens and earth. And we just said, like, if you look out there, everything is made from God. The mountains and the water. And then you look over the other side and you see the town. And my kids are like, oh, they look so little. Just these little people going around. And it's interesting how you get so high up. How life can look so little. And the little people running around not knowing what to do. And you get this perspective that maybe God, he sees everything. He knows what's in control. And having this time with my kids to speak into their lives and give them that perspective, it was amazing. I mean, I see God in all my children, and every child is a gift from God. And we're just so blessed. Putting God first, it's not rocket science. Sometimes we make it out to be. We think there's some sort of formula. We think it's hard. But it needs to be intentional. It doesn't just happen. There are so many things in this world that will distract us. They try and steal our time. So we need to be intentional. And Mark chapter 10, verse 21, talks about a young man who comes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, what do I need to do to enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus looks at him and he says, go, sell everything you have, and then come and follow me. Well, the guy, he couldn't do it. Why couldn't he do it? Because he was extremely wealthy, right? He had the Mercedes, the yacht, the mansion, season tickets to whatever sports team. He had everything, and he had so much to lose. He was too comfortable. Jesus knew this. He asks him right to his face to give it up. That's powerful. You know, you think about that. What if Jesus was here today, and he walked up to you, and he asked you to give that one thing? They knew you were holding a priority over him, and he asked you to give that up. You know how hard it would be to say no right to his face after you've decided to have him in your life, after you've decided to follow him? You say, you know what, Jesus, I can't do it. It's too much. So we hold on to things like money. And I remember a couple weeks ago, Cam was talking about how he told his fellow workers that he gave 10% to the church. And they couldn't believe he gave that much. And his response was, well, I get to keep 90%. And the truth is, it all belongs to God. And God gives and he takes away, and he gives, and he takes away, and he takes away. And sometimes God takes away, and it's not because he's mean or vengeful. He doesn't want to punish us, but he's really doing it for our own good. And if we start serving another master like money, God will ask us to give it up for him. And our response is going to show where our true allegiance is. Right? It's where the rubber meets the road. Do you really believe? God has to be first. You know, it says we serve a jealous God. He wants all of us. He doesn't want us to have part of ourselves somewhere else. He wants all of our devotion. He certainly wants all of our worship and our attention. And if you start to put God first, your heart will begin to be at peace. You can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though there's a coronavirus out there and it's affecting all these people, I have no fear and I am at peace. Even though the economical outlook looks dim, even though the money's going to stop coming in, everything is okay. And even though the government seems to be up in the air and crazy, we know we can have confidence because we serve the true King, right? And even though humanity is dark and there is crazy things going on right now and evil acts are being taken place and it just seems so dark, we know that we can be the light in the world. Because Jesus is the light in the world and he lives inside of us and we can take that light and we can show it. And this all in, it just gives you such a peace. We need to follow him first. My next point is to keep the passion. Keep the passion. Over time, in your faith, you know, it can dwindle. The fire can dim a little bit and your walk with God might not seem as thrilling as it once was. And this happens in all relationships. You know, you're not on fire all the time. You're not happy all the time. It's happy is kind of like a temporary state, but you can be content all the time. This happens sometimes because we fall into worldly habits, or maybe we neglect spiritual disciplines, like reading the Bible and worshiping and praying. But it also can just happen because we just get burnt out. We work so hard and stress of the world. This is why it's so important to be all in for Jesus. It's in these trying times, these dry times, where the all in faith is going to get you through. Right? That wishy-washy faith is not going to go over well when it gets tough. Wedding vows represent an important covenant to another person, and I just love the classic. It's like, for richer or poor, in sickness and health, for better or worse, until death do you part. This really sums up what true commitment is. So when the going gets tough, you don't give up. Remember fight or flight. These wedding vows represent fight. There's no running away. There's poor, sickness, worse, death. These are not happy times. And yet you stay together through these times to experience even a greater richness, a greater health, a greater better in that abundant life that Jesus promises us. To keep the passion alive and thriving through your walk with God, you need to have these vows that endure. Endurance is the key to true contentment and true bliss, right? Like every time you go through a valley and you reach a mountaintop, that mountaintop just keeps getting higher every time. And we experience joy after joy after joy. And the great thing with our walk with God is even though those lows keep coming, every high we experience is better than the high before. Because of that endurance, because of that passion. Is a closer walk with God rewarding? Yes. Will a closer walk with God enrich your life? Yes. Is a closer walk with God easy? No, it's not. But getting through the hard times is what makes the good so good. You know, that's why there's that song, like, God bless the broken road. Like, everything leads to him eventually. And we can look back on our lives and we can say, yeah, that sucked, what happened to me. My childhood sucked, right? Losing my job sucked. But God is there. And when you're all in, there is no turning back. Let's say you lose your job. And you say, well, I'm not going to give up my faith because I'm all in. There's no turning back. Maybe you're suffering pain every day and your health's going downhill. Well, I'm all in for God, so I'm not going to turn back. Maybe you lose someone close to you. It's suffering. But you say, I am not turning back because I'm all in. All in means all in despite the circumstances, despite what's going on around you. And that's why following God is so interesting, because it's not what's happening from the outside, but it's what happened on the inside out. And if God's on the inside out, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You're still going to have that contentment. Yeah, bad day after bad day, doesn't matter. Your faith will get you through. That blessed assurance that Jesus is yours. There's nothing that you can do to stop the love of God. It's relentless. I mean, God is chasing after you So if you turn to him and you accept that, it's almost overwhelming and bombarded with it. I mean, that's why coming to Jesus is such an overwhelming thing. It's because it's like built up, built up, built up. And then you turn around and it's there and you break down. God loves the brokenness. There is beauty in the brokenness. We need to let those walls down. We can't have our guard up all the time, right? All in means all in. Every single area of your heart, you're opening up to him. There is no hidden spot. There is no, well, I'm just going to keep this to myself. It doesn't happen. It has to be everything. There are so many things in this life that are unsure. So why not have the assurance that no matter what, you're going to follow God? The choice is easy when it's all good, but if it needs to be a decision that gets you closer to him when those storms hit. So you need to get your butt into church when there's chaos around, because you can't do it on your own. Now is the best time to be in church. If you're watching in line, you know, make sure you get in church. We are a family, and through tough times, we support one another. It brings me to my next point. We are in this together. Throughout this whole COVID thing, I've seen signs say, we're in this together, you're not alone, we're here for you. People put them in their windows, they're in shops. And it's true, we're all affected by this, right? We're not going through this on our own. But a greater truth is, you were never alone. Even before this hit, you weren't alone. God was there with you, walking beside you. And just because this happened, he doesn't leave. He's still there. God is always there, and we as a church, we're always here for you as well. The church in the Bible is described as the bridegroom of Christ, right? Jesus and the church, they're married, they're in bed together, and this marriage is one that will last until the end times. It's not going to stop. Through good and bad, the church is here, and it's going to still be here. That should be the slogan of the church, right? Always there. And the members of the church, now more than ever, it's important to show up and not just be like an empty body sitting in a chair, but to participate, get involved. And you don't need to be volunteering. You can get involved through giving. You can get involved through helping out in the community. You can get involved by inviting other people into church. You can get involved by filling a backpack like Jessica talked about this morning. I have 100% faith that we're going to reach our goal. I have no doubt, because that's what this church is about. We're about reaching our goals, reaching people for Jesus, helping out in the community outside of these doors. We should all strive to be all in for God, fully committed, right? Putting on the armor of God, having no other masters before ourselves, keeping the passion alive, and finally surrounding ourselves with other believers. Living a fulfilled life and hearing God say, "Welcome home, my child, well done." So as we close, I want you to ask yourself this question. It's pretty simple. What is God keeping? What is keeping you from being all in for God? What is keeping you from being all in for God? Now, I know even as I asked that, something popped into your mind. You know, even for me, when I was preparing this, something came to my mind. I feel like none of us are there to the point where we're completely all in. We all know that there's something. And the longer you serve God and you say, oh, well, I overcome that something, I gave it to God, he shows you something else, and then he shows you something else. And it's like the longer you serve God, you almost see your wickedness even more. And in the light of his beauty, you can see that darkness even more. Right? At first, it's easy. It's like, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to stop doing this worldly thing. I'm going to stop doing this worldly thing because you're so sinful. But you never reach perfection. So this morning, what is one thing that is keeping you from being all in for God? Is it money? Do you hold on to it tightly? Is it some of your possessions maybe? Something that you have put in God's place? Is it a relationship? A toxic relationship that's keeping you from serving God? A friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend? I mean, these things are real. Is it fear? Fear of this virus? Fear of the unknown? Fear of failure, fear of not being good enough. You know, we're all told at one point in our lives, you're not good enough. You don't measure up. But God says in the word that you are good enough and you do measure up. Like I said, he died for us while we were still sinners. Maybe it's earthly pleasures that are keeping you from God. Maybe it's your sinful nature that's keeping you from God. You know, it says that Everything in our lives will be brought into the light. When the light of Jesus shines on us, there's no secrets. So this morning, ask yourself, what's keeping you from being all in for God? And then ask yourself this other question. What are you holding back from God? What do you have inside you that you know God's called you to do that you're not doing? Those two questions. So what's keeping you from being all in, and what are you holding back? Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this message, and I thank you for the people here today. I thank you for followers of you that are not just wishy-washy, that are not just flaky, that not bend to the world's demands, God, but I pray that you would help this be a place where we can come, we can be filled with your knowledge, and you can build our character and disciple us into true followers of you, Jesus. God, you loved us so much that you came to die for us so that we could have eternal life. I just want to pray right now for anyone who would like to accept Jesus for the first time. You know, if you're new to the walk, you just have to say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I know only you can take away the sin of my life. I invite you into my heart. I make you Lord of my life, and I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, people, if you keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed here, I just ask if anyone said that prayer for the first time, they could raise their hand and just take ownership over that decision if that's you. And if you said that decision online, you know, just share that with someone and raise a hand. God, I just thank you so much for all the blessings that you've given us, and that even in the hard times, you are the same God that is with us in the good times. I thank you so much that you're going to get us through this stronger and better and closer together, Father. We just ask that you be with everyone here in this week. I just ask that you would bless them. Bless every single person here as they go out, Father. Be with them. Surround them. Remind them of your beauty. Remind them of your glory, God. Fill them with your spirit from their head right down to their toes, God. Heal anything that is aching them in their bodies, Father. And bring them to that place where they're all in for you. Amen.